6:06 a.m. We're broadcasting live from our studios on Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee. It's Monday, August 1st, 2022. A great show today. I mean, a great show. We have at 6:30, the original star panelist, Crom Carmichael, will be here with his commentary. And then we'll be joined in studio from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Dr. Carol Swain will be in. Just saw her on Huckabee on Saturday night. She did a great job. But right now, the highlight of our 6 o'clock hour, we are joined in studio by Gino Bolso, who's running for state representative in Williamson County. Good morning, Gino.
Good morning, Michael. Thank you for having me back.
So, Williamson County, now you, what part of Williamson County does the district in which you're running cover?
District 61 is principally the northeast corner of Williamson County. It covers most of Brentwood, but then expands west all the way out to the Horseshoe Bend community on Vaughn Road, and then down to Snead Road, and then further out west to Temple Hills, and then all the way south to Highway 96 into Franklin, and back to 65.
That's so quite a district.
It's a good chunk.
Yeah, yeah. So Brentwood, from Brentwood, I guess if you go 65 down to 96.
Yes.
And then you go west for 5 or 6 miles.
Exactly.
That's a great district.
Oh, it's a fun district. I mean, you'll pick up the obviously the Temple Hills community, the Grassland community, the Fieldstone Farms communities, Liberty Pike community, just many great communities all throughout that district.
You are one of the most successful and well-respected attorneys in Middle Tennessee. The long list of your legal victories, we can't go through them all right now, but it's a long list. And you're like the number one go-to guy for a lot of people here in Middle Tennessee, in federal court and in state. Do you do federal court only or both federal and state?
No, both federal and state, both in Tennessee and across the country.
And across the country.
Yeah. I've actually had the pleasure twice of representing the state of Tennessee in federal court on constitutional issues, once at the request of Governor Don Sunquist and a second time at Governor Haslam's request.
You're singing my tune here. I'm a big fan of course, a reemergent federalism.
Yes.
And is that sort of what your agenda would be if you got elected to the state House of Representatives?
It would be. Michael, my agenda would be twofold. One thing that's unique about our state government is that it looks both outward to the federal government and inward to our local governments, because the state government created both of those. The state governments obviously created the federal government back in 1787, and then later created local governments. In our particular case, Williamson County was created by our state legislature in 1799. So I'm going to have a dual focus. One is looking outward from the state legislature and using the 10th Amendment to rein in the out-of-control federal spending that's just killing us and causing this rampant inflation. But then secondly, I'll be having a local focus, a second focus on the local government, trying to have more funds available to, in the case of Williamson County, have more funds available to build up the infrastructure both above ground and underground to handle the development that we need and that we're experiencing.
Williamson County is a special case, isn't it? There are 95 counties in the state of Tennessee. I think Williamson County is the most affluent of those counties. Is that right?
I think it certainly is. In fact, you could even expand that beyond the state and say likely it's one of the most affluent counties anywhere in the country.
And everybody wants to move here.
Everyone wants to move here. And
why wouldn't you? I mean, it's like, no, it's a beautiful place.
And that's why the big challenge is to preserving what makes it special. And you want to have a community that keeps attracting not just other visitors from across the country, but that is still a place that folks want to live, work, and play. And right now, we've got a growth where we're going to double our size.
We're talking with Gino Bolso, running for state representative in the 61st District, Brentwood and parts of Williamson County. We'll be back with more after this. This is the Tennessee Star Report. I'm Michael Patrick Leahy. A.M. broadcasting live from our studios at the Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee, in studio, Gino Bolso, running for state representative in Williamson County. The 61st District covers Brentwood down to 96 and then about 5 or 10 miles to the west. Gino, we were talking off air here a little bit about your overarching philosophy. As I told you, I was in Phoenix, Arizona on Friday, talking with a lot of folks in Arizona. They're very excited about the gubernatorial candidacy of Carrie Lake. Their primary is on Tuesday. Her theme is Make Federalism Great Again. I see your eyes smile when I say that. It sounds like that's right up your alley.
You know, I think it is, because when you say make federalism great again, what you're talking about is trying to give the people the country mm-hmm. that their founders intended. And what we're living through right now is a period of time when we have the exact counter paradigm. Mm-hmm. The paradigm that the founders set up was to have state governments that had the indefinite amount of power with a limited size federal government with limited power. And that's precisely the opposite of what we have. We have the federal government going well beyond the scope of its properly delegated constitutional powers and effectively running the entire country over and above what rights the state should have under the Constitution.
It sounds like you've probably read a lot of Georgetown constitutional law professor Randy Barnett, who's written about this topic.
Absolutely.
And, so, okay, I knew you would have written. Randy Barnett's a good friend of mine.
Oh, glad to hear it.
And he's written about what the Constitution was. It was islands of federal power surrounded by a sea of liberty. That's what it was like back in 1787. But today, we have islands of liberty surrounded by a sea of federal power. Your thoughts?
That he's exactly 100% correct. And it's not a complex issue, and you do not have to look far to determine what our founders intended. I mean, take Thomas Jefferson, for example, who wrote that for the federal government to take, quote, a single step, close quote, beyond the scope of its properly delegated power would be, quote, to take possession of a bountiful field of power no longer susceptible to any definition. And that's what we're living through. Mm-hmm. The federal government has gone more than one step. It's occupied that entire bountiful field of power that Thomas Jefferson was talking about. And part of the challenge that we've got now is to elect proper representatives, particularly at the state government level, who have these powers under the 10th Amendment, to bring the federal government back within the proper bounds of its intended constitutionally delegated powers.
So let me ask you the big question. This has been something that I've been pushing for years, and I ask every candidate for the state legislature here this question. Are we ready to tell the Federal Department of Education to keep their money and don't send it our way? And because with money comes strings.
Oh, completely. And the short answer is yes. We need to reverse this system that the federal government has put in place, where they actually control both the education systems and the healthcare systems mm-hmm. of all 50 states mm-hmm. by sending billions of dollars every year into those states with strings attached. In Tennessee, for example, although we have a $52.5 billion annual budget, $20 billion of that comes from the federal government mm-hmm. in education and in healthcare with all types of strings attached. So you are correct, Michael. We need to cut that string. We need to bring the government back into what it was intended to do, which is simply identify those few and defined areas of power that James Madison wrote about in Federalist Number 45.
Now, you said not just education. You also said healthcare. Elaborate on that, if you would, please.
Sure. You know, this is going back to the passage of Obamacare, which the Supreme Court unfortunately upheld under the Supreme Court's taxing power.
Let me just stop for a moment. I'm guessing you're not a fan of John Roberts.
Sometimes I am, sometimes I'm
mostly
not.
You're not.
On June the 20th, when he wrote that Carson decision that actually expanded religious liberty uh-huh. in private education, I was a fan of that. But I'm not a fan of rulings where he is not actually applying the plain language of the Constitution.
NFIB v. Sebelius, he invented a taxing power for the Senate.
He did.
Doesn't exist in the Constitution.
It does not, and that was not one of his finer moments.
It was not.
I do not want to give up on Chief Justice John Roberts, but some of those decisions are very concerning.
Well, I don't, you know, I mean, he's there. Yeah. You know, he's going to be there for a while. He could be there for another 20 years.
Easily.
Yeah.
Given
so
his youth.
He'll be there for a while.
Yeah. But the beauty of it is that even beyond John Roberts, we've got those five rock-solid constitutional conservatives. Mm-hmm. You know, Clarence Thomas, who wrote that gorgeous concurrence in the Dobbs decision, that uh-huh. really understood this concept mm-hmm. of substantive due process and that it really has no place in the Constitution. And then you've got Sam Alito mm-hmm. and then the three Trump appointees, Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, and Amy Coney Barrett. With those five, Michael, that's what gives me so much hope that if mm-hmm. we can actually get a case before the U.S. Supreme Court challenging the federal government's overreach, mm-hmm. we've got those five constitutional conservatives that know what our founders intended, they know what the Constitution says, and they will apply it.
As a freshman member of the House of Representatives, if you win,
one sec,
you would be one of 99 folks there. How do you have influence as a freshman?
I think the way that you have influence as a freshman, Michael, is the same way that you'll have influence as a sophomore and as a junior. You actually go to other legislators and you convince them with the power of your arguments, and you do it in a humble way. You don't go in as though you're going to go ahead and just take over the place. Absolutely not. What I would do with the other 98 legislatures is what I've done my whole life with juries, is you present a set of facts. You do it sincerely, mm-hmm. you do it honestly, you mm-hmm. do it in an understated manner, and you get them to see that our country needs courageous leaders right now who are not afraid to give the people the government that their founders intended and that they're entitled to.
My sense is there's what? I think it's like 74 Republicans, 25 Democrats in the House. It's a supermajority.
Yes.
74 Republicans, 24 Democrats. A supermajority for Republicans. My sense is, you know, probably the vast majority of those 74 Republican House members think the same way you do. But part of the challenge is turning those thoughts into substantive legislation. Your background as a lawyer probably helps with that a bit, doesn't it?
I think it does, because one thing that you do as a lawyer in each and every case is you put your client's interest first. You put those ahead mm-hmm. of your own interests. And that's one culture that we need to make sure that we propagate in the state legislature, is that we put the interests of the people first ahead of any interests of individual legislators. And that's why I think you hear so much public support for things like term limits mm-hmm. and getting special interest and PAC money out of politics, because there's a danger that sometimes some legislatures might put the interests of others ahead of the interests of the people. And what we have to do is to have a legislature that completely puts the interests of the public first.
Tell us a little bit about your campaign as we enter the last few days. Are you ready for it to be over?
In a word, yes. It's obviously a grind.
It's a grind, isn't it?
Yeah, I practice law in the morning and I do campaigning in the afternoon.
So, what sort of campaigning do you do? Do you go to events? Do you go door to door? What do you do?
In large part, we just try to meet the voters, mm-hmm. and that happens at the doors. You know, I've knocked on more than 3,000 doors myself.
Really?
Yes.
That's impressive.
It's educational, too.
What's it like when you interact with somebody, when you knock, knock, knock. Hi, I'm Gino Bolso. I'm running for state rep. And when they come out, maybe 20% of the time you connect with a live person, I would guess.
A little higher than that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's
probably
good.
More than a third of the time.
Wow. That's good. That's good. Oh, so they come out.
Yeah.
What do you say? What do they say? What have you learned?
Well, most of the time, now that we're so deep into the campaign, when I arrive at a doorstep, the folks know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I just tell them that we'd love to have their vote and tell them what I could do to earn it. And at that point, they'll open up and tell me what concerns they have. And then we get into
what surprised you the most in terms of concerns?
I'd say the deep distrust of the Biden administration mm-hmm. and the inflationary factor, and the fact mm-hmm. that the impact it's having on everyone.
Well, Gino Bolso, candidate for State House of Representatives here in the 61st District. That's Brentwood South and West. Gino, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Mike. Well, it's been a pleasure.
All right. And we'll have more with Crom Carmichael, the original All-Star panelist, after this. You're listening to the Tennessee Star Report. I'm Michael Patrick Leahy.